Welcome to CDM's Midday Talk Podcast.
CDM's.
It's Monroe, Chris, and Derek, but Chris is not here right now.
Yeah.
He has some shit to take care of.
Yeah, he would call in, but it's a podcast.
Yeah, he can't call in to a podcast. We don't got no legit listeners, no fucking...
He said he was going to Skype. He said he wanted to Skype it.
Yeah, but it was too much, and then he hit me up during the day. I got stuff to do, too. Not much, but still stuff.
Well, we're here cooped up at a Starbucks on 6th Avenue. So we got to keep it kind of low-key, but we're still going to be outlandish and crazy.
All right.
So, Monroe, any topics that we need to cover before we just start spazzing out on life?
Well, actually, you wanted to talk about a topic.
We can do it later.
I want to talk about it.
Oh, you want to talk about it right now? Right now?
Yeah, let's talk about it right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Marvel Comics have introduced a biracial, or should I say a black, Spider-Man to the world. His name is Miles Morales.
Black, he's biracial.
Well, he's black and Hispanic, but if you put two minorities together, you get one whole, and if you got a little bit of black in, you're already black, so therefore, so a black Spider-Man.
Black first.
Black.
Some dude just slipped his hands out. He's just looking like he's angry. He's frustrated.
He's black Spider-Man, and he got a new suit, and he has full lips, and he has both parents, believe it or not. And I don't understand what's going on. Maybe he got a.
I think you're trying to kill Spider-Man.
I think somebody got some kind of Tourette's. You don't hear the vibrations in the back, but go ahead. Yeah.
What it so actually what do you feel is, about is it's some guy slamming his
about
hand
this,
down right now. No, I was explaining the situation. There's some guy slamming his hand down in anger against the porn. It's not loading
maybe
up quicker.
Dale Jones.
Don't give him the benefit of the doubt.
Don't do that.
I never give people the benefit of the doubt. If I see a person in public acting irate.
It's good to see black people typing though. Black people are typing these things.
That made no sense. Black people are typing. Black people are typing. We moved up from picking cotton to typing. We moved up the moving keys.
Yeah, but anyway.
Alright, so how do I feel? I don't know too much about the subject, so that's fine.
But it's a black Spider-Man. It's a black half Hispanic Spider-Man. They no more Peter Parker. They trying to move on, I guess. And they all talking about it's because the president is black, they make a black Spider-Man. Why don't we just...
Oh, that's what they said. That was the because the president is black, we get a black Spider-Man.
I think it's a good move. I think it's a good change of pace. A black Spider-Man is pretty dope.
Well,
why can't we be superhero? We don't get black... The last black superhero we had was Blade.
Yeah.
And he's
a vampire.
Anti-hero.
He's like, yeah, he just killed vampires.
Yeah, he didn't help us out.
He didn't help regular people. What about the Man of Steel? Remember that?
Oh, God.
The character, Shaq.
No, that wasn't.
We got that horrible.
That was straight to video. I wish it went straight to video.
We got that horrible superhero.
You want to save my life, make that straight video.
He wasn't even a superhero. He was just a nigga in the suit.
He had a white woman. And a white woman in a wheelchair was control.
Hold up. A white woman still controlled him?
Yeah. You know that? She had all the things for the suit. He was moving and he could do all kinds of cool stuff. She's like, I just programmed.
So even with all the powers in the world,
all that done.
Black men are still affected by white women.
That's more of the story.
That is, yes, that is crazy. What about the green lantern? Green lantern is black. Actually, no. Yes, one of the Green Lanterns was black.
Oh, he was in like amongst 8,000 of them. There was one Green Lantern that was a fly, my dude. There was a fly. I saw the movie. There was a fly. There was three bugs.
Uh-huh.
There was two aliens.
Green Lantern does not discriminate. The ring does not discriminate.
Prize. Yes, the ring doesn't discriminate, but they make everybody a superhero. There's a whole planet of them. If everybody's special, nobody's special.
Silver Surfer was black. Nolan Red was black.
Lawrence Fishburne's voice. Percy's black. It was Lawrence Fishburne's voice. Comic World is black.
So they went, you know what? He's black skinned, but now we're going to dye it silver.
And I know you hear this in the back. These are the employees making all this noise. This is crazy.
We're at a Starbucks right now. There's no need for a person to be this loud at a damn Starbucks. These are the
They got a fried macchiato. They got a fried macchiato.
You're race driven. Like I am
but my mom said I'm a reverse racist. And I think I am.
You're a reverse racist. Explain the reverse racism.
I seek out racism. If there's something wrong with something, I automatically blame it on race. Automatic, like if there's a traffic jam, black dude hit a white woman, or if the tunnel is shut down, black dude tried to get out his car and change the tire. Just something, because the man wants us dead. It's the end. Dude.
Okay. So it's not the white person the cause of it, it's the black people that are the cause of it.
No. Black people, no. Let me explain something. Black people, we, you know the whole phrase, niggas and black people. That's true. Chris Rock. Love Chris Rock. But the cause of it is white people making black people do things. You see what I'm saying? Like that.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. No, actually. Oh, man. I had wrote this thorough bit.
Go ahead.
I say, I'm not going to do it now.
No, not on the podcast.
This is only for shows.
Yeah.
If you want to hear the bit, you got to go to my Facebook page, find out when I'm doing shows, and then come see it.
He's going to be doing a show soon. If it was up to me, he would have been on the August 12th and 13th show at the Laugh House with Mike Brooks. Mike Brooks is the headliner. Who is Mike Brooks?
Oh, yeah. I got to call them up again. You're on it?
I'm hitting feature.
Okay, good shit. August, go to the Laugh House August
12th and 13th.
12th and 13th, see Derek Gaines. But aside from that, it's raining outside. If you can't tell, I'm in a somber mood. I'm kind of in this mood where it's like, I know every comedian asks themselves, when does comedy start paying off?
Oh, Christ, you know, Jesus.
That's it. But
ask
it's not
myself that every 2 weeks.
Because it's not even me thinking about the money. It's me thinking about the, we comedians is where we grind to grind more. That's all you want to, that's all you do in comedy. You work to work more. It's like working out. You work, like Jerry Seinfeld said, you work out to work out. So a comedian gets good just to tell more jokes. That's it.
I like that hustle though. I kind of do.
I like that hustle, but at what point, like, man, living in New York, like, out, yeah, living in New York, in Philly, it was working out. Like, you can see. Philly is a small city. So, a small city, you can mark your progress. Like, you knew you were making a dent in the comedy game in Philly if you worked at the Laugh House or Helium.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you got either or of those comedy clubs, then it was like, all right, he's doing something. And then they put you, and then other people put you on shows. But in New York, the worst of the worst and the best of the best get past it. I'm not going to name the club,
but I
was at a club yesterday, and I went, and somebody told me to show up. So I did what they said. I showed up. And then to find out I couldn't get on the show because it was ran by the bartender. And the bartender was like, I don't know you. And I was like, well, I just want to tell jokes. So it's really no big deal. It's not like I'm asking for money. He was like, oh, well, I don't know you, blah, blah, blah. So he said, you're welcome to watch the show. I watched the show, 4 comics. One of the worst shows I've ever had the pleasure of sitting in. I would rather watch someone give open heart surgery and then watch that show. And the thing is, the thing that made it so bad, it was comedians who had 3 really great minutes do 15 minutes.
Ooh.
And they put the 3 minutes in the middle.
But you know what I told you, right? You only go to New York so you can just kill on the road. Because everybody in New York, okay, half of New York is comedians, right?
Yeah.
So of course, it's going to be, it's like a fucking lottery. It's like, you know, you can be as funny as you want to be.
Derek has a phone call.
This is weird.
This is a weird phone call. Hello? Derek has a phone call. Let's hear it. Let's listen in on his phone call.
Hello? Hey, Suzanne, why is London numbers have 1,000 numbers in it?
Somebody from London is international.
Can I save this? Can I call you back off this weird-ass number?
This is Derek trying to set up the cheeks. This is what he do. Derek always sets up the
it's
cheeks.
It's like some crazy 447-921-52-6638. Yeah.
But back to what I was talking about, while Derek is setting
up
the cheeks.
I'm in the middle of a podcast.
Oh, okay.
For New York radio. I mean, New York podcastery. So can I call you? Can I hold his number back? Can I call the number back, or can you call me back at like 8:30? Which one is better? Thank you. I appreciate you.
This is Derek. That was Derek taking a booty call.
Across the pond. It's not a booty call. She's across the Atlantic Ocean, and she's not.
You can have Skype sex. That's the actual thing now. Skype sex. It's basically mutual masturbation across.
Just, No, that's stupid. First of all, no. Monroe, I told you. You saw me struggle. You witnessed firsthand me struggling in this nut-ass city. Because first of all, you only do it for the stage time. And if you start getting paid, it's $25 here, $85 here. Those are the spots people chase. But to be honest with you, like, not the veterans. I exclude the veterans. But everybody in our class, they're chasing the front door. They're not seeing the big picture. I just started seeing the big picture.
Well, what is the big picture?
The big picture
explain
is,
to me and
the big picture is when comedy clubs stop paying you. When you walk in and bump a whole show because you on TV, like, man, come on. These, I know everybody gotta work out their stuff and get their little $80 to $75 check. That's chump change to me. That's chicken sauce. I pulled up in a Ferrari. Are you serious? Let me do my hour that I'm working on for another HBO special. That's the big picture. Granted, it starts here, and you gotta pay dues, but sometimes you should just stick to one or two clubs and just build. Because chasing all them stages, you're just chasing stages, and you're sitting around hanging out the right spots. And then build your product at two clubs. That's gonna give you 20 minutes, not 7 or 5 for you to impress a fucking bartender. Come on, man.
All right,
just me. Monroe, you've given me a lot of advice in comedy, which I have taken, so I can't say that you're wrong, but that's just my side of it.
All right, no, I'm just seeking right now.
New York shitty. It's shitty. We do it for the stage time because it's the best city to do comedy in, but it's shitty. We all eating shit sandwiches. Me, you. It's just the caliber of smell. Some people eat shit sandwiches, this old shit, turn white, and other people eat fresh shit sandwiches. So what level of shit sandwich are we both eating right now? You're not eating shitty sandwiches. You know why? Because you're on the same. We're on the same tour. If I got a job, you got a job. That's all it is.
That's the comedy camaraderie right there.
It's the hustle.
It's the hustle.
I hate it, but we have to do it. And for all the motherfuckers that never hustled and got on, you're gonna either hustle later because you're gonna stink at first. I don't give a fuck who you are.
All right. See, that question just came to my mind. Like, I was just actually wrote, like, I was on the train and wrote it out and actually did it. And it was a 10-minute bit, and it was great. Mm-hmm. Like, it was that type of great where it's like, damn, that should win, like, some sort of one of them Chris Rock awards.
Yeah.
At what point it was like, will you be able to showcase your greatness? You know what I mean? Like, check spots here and there. Yeah, you don't really get to flourish in a check spot. You know what a check spot is? You going up there and I'm going to say be entertaining. Being entertaining and being funny are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can be entertaining.
Yeah.
But everybody can be legit comedic funny.
I got you.
Yeah. So
comics and comedians, man.
Yeah.
It's different.
There's a huge difference. So that was the only thing that's just getting me down in this weather. It's just like I'm writing good shit now. I'm writing personal stuff. Personal stuff is always good because it always captures someone else's reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but now I'm lightening things out.
I got better when I start writing personal because somebody told me, good comic line. He said, as a matter of fact, he's headlining the Carolines Night. He said, when I first came here, I was really energetic. Like, you know how people say good energy, but like, what about the joke? Like, I got that a lot the first 2 years I was here. I just start getting, yo, you're just really funny. And that's what I've been punching for. So it works.
Nah.
But when does it happen? That's a good question.
Yeah, that's it. This is something you got to keep asking yourself. It takes some grounding. And you know what else? I was thinking about this today. Comedians here get by a lot. They get by a lot. They get away with being unfunny. In Philly, you got teased, which made you get funnier. You would do a show, and it wasn't really based off of who you knew. It was just like, oh, you know that guy? Is he funny? Yes or no? If he's not funny, he's not getting on. If he is, he's going to get on. But if he stinks, oh boy, is he going to get teased.
Oh, God.
No one gets teased here. The little people don't get beat up here. They don't.
We took hazings. You get hazed.
You know what hazing is? Yeah. That's when they treat you like shit purposely. You know how many introductions I got? It was like, well, you might have seen this guy on absolutely nothing. And if he's not funny, don't laugh. And if he is, then laugh. Give it up for Monroe Martin.
Yeah.
It was like, you son of a bitch. They don't
Penny's
do that here.
Thrown at me. Pennies getting thrown. I see people get heckled and then catch an attitude.
You got.
I got pennies thrown at me when I first started.
How did you take that?
Stage, dude. Like that.
Where was it?
Camden.
It wasn't a church, y'all. Oh,
I got pennies from the balcony at that. So I couldn't even see where it was coming from. It was just, I'm dodging pennies. Ain't nobody dodging pennies no more. And then getting back on stage.
Damn.
Everybody got a fucking emotional problem.
Everybody out here has a. I'm gonna end it because I don't want it to sound like I'm bitter. I'm not bitter.
Let me take that away. I'm not bitter at all. Shout out to all the funny people in New York City. I love y'all. Every last one of that. All the funny people coming at every comedy club. There's no clicks to me. It's just the club you chose. I don't have no problem with you. If you're funny and you're walking around like and you humble. But if you're not funny and you cocky, I can't stand you.
Alright. I felt like it got a little dark.
It got dark.
I don't want to get too dark. I want to be happy. I watch a lot of documentaries. You know that. I told you that shit. I watch a lot of documentaries. And one of the documentaries I was watching, it's not even a documentary for real. It's a show, but it's a documentary. It's called Beyond Scared Straight.
Okay.
You remember that show?
Remember Scared Straight? But now they have Beyond Scared Straight,
which is basically they still take them to the prison, but they let them interact with the prisoners. Like the prisoners get to sit there and yell at them and shit like that. And I could not stop laughing. Like the whole time. At first, I was sitting there. I was like, oh, this shit's sad. Then I just started watching more, and I was like, this shit is hilarious. Half of those, dudes, they took them to a prison in D.C., in fucking Washington, D.C., which is, you're never getting out of that prison. And they had kids, who were visiting the prison because they, like, did stuff like cut school and stuff like that.
What?
Yeah, which is like, okay, cutting school and showing up late. That doesn't, like, really demerit a prison visit.
A prison visit from one of them dudes that's in there for 100 years.
But
it got triple life.
At some point, I was like, this shit is staged. Because it was just people just yelling. I was like, I will fuck you. I will fuck you. And kid was like 12. It's like, you don't yell at a 12-year-old. That is not scaring the kid straight in the right
throw.
That's traumatizing.
You don't scare 12-year-olds. You just tell them you're going to take TV and shit away. Like, you know, my mom used to do that to me. No TV, no outside. You grind it till I say you're not grinding. And that was like the longest 3-4 days of my life.
Exactly. I know kids are bad. I know kids are fucking bad as hell.
When you late to school.
Yeah, but it's like now discipline is going overboard. It was like, you know what? We're not going to beat your child, but we're going to let some convicts yell in his face
and scream, I'm going to rape you.
And scream, I'm going to rape you and all that bullshit.
That's nonsense.
That is nonsense. What's his name?
Michael Epps. My mom.
Remember Michael Epps special?
Mike Epps, which one? The second one?
The second one, the good one.
Yeah.
And when he was like kids, he was like there on everything. That shit is true.
Yeah, it's on everything.
Kids, I had kids who just like, yo, because I'm not going to disclose the location, but you know I used to work with kids. And without any hesitation, it was like, yo, you know where I get some weed at? Like, why? I'm a grown ass man. Like, why would you be asking me that? Then I realized for him to have that level of comfort, that means somebody as an adult was just supplying these children.
And that's crazy because I remember back when we was in school, we had to fill out a permission slip to watch Schindler's List. Remember that? You know, you had to go home, like, mom is going to be naked.
It's going to be.
Shoes in there.
Naked tortured Jews.
And I was wondering if I could watch. Like, that was us. What happened to permission slips? Ain't no permission slips no more.
Ain't no permission slips. Ain't no bag lunches. School changed.
Changed, dude.
I wish I was still in high school. At some point, I'm like, if I was in high school, I'd be the man. Probably won't.
And this dude keeps slamming his hand. I ain't gonna be mad. Like, if we could watch you.
DSL.
I'm gonna ask you a question.
What's up?
Joint about this email I got, but I can't get it because Boxbee got me on some kind of special list and I don't know the password. And this is an important email, and I can't see what it is.
I'll try to fix that up.
I'm scared like that, dude. Like I need that email. I'm like, what? I can't get it. This is real.
This is Derek Berenoff having accent about an email.
Yeah, this is some real like enemy to state.
Yo, you know what was inspiring? When I remember when I first moved to New York or Jersey City, I lived at Mr. Gaines' house. That's where we tight. Slept on the first
time.
No, it wasn't a futon at first. It was a recliner.
That's right.
It was a straight ass recliner. Then we moved up to a futon. But the one thing I noticed is that you painted your wall black. Remember that?
And
you wrote all the joke. Explain that. That was hot.
That was
I used to do this thing called an artistry wall or whatever. A friend of mine got me into it. She was like, Jerry, you should paint your wall chalkboard black so you can write on it, and when you're done, you clean off all the stuff. Basically, in order to do something, you gotta see it. You gotta see it. You gotta believe it. So it was easy for me to see a joke because it was right on my wall when I woke up in the morning. And I could see levels of where I need to be at or what needs to be tagged or what needs to be punched. Sometimes you lose your notebook. Sometimes, you know, you don't get to write. But when the writing is right on the wall, mm-hmm. sometimes you can't help but to go, all right. And you write big enough, you see where you're making mistakes at. You can see in your bombs or in your mistakes where you can clean it up at. Like, I knew what to tag. That did help me. The year that I was there, that artistry wall, I could paint pictures and see what comedy I was trying to, I guess, relay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what the wall was about. That was basically what the wall was about.
Alright, no, I just wanted to get to that, because that's inspiring. Like right now,
visions. That's what you need, people. Visions. Every comic don't want to be something. Don't listen to these bitter ass fucks. Vision. Just vision what you want to do, and then start doing it.
All right.
And
all
that was just the way to help my stuff. But go ahead. What do you think?
Another topic. What do you think about relationships in comedy? Not the relationship with comics.
Okay.
But relationships have juggling a relationship in your comedy career. Because I think it's kind of easy, but a lot of comedians complain about it. A lot of comedians are like, you can't have no girl and do comedy. I need to grind. I'm like, a huge part of comedy is life. How are you going to continue to talk about life if you're not living your life? You know? Like, I'm in a relationship. I actually live with my girl now. All right, that's just in. Some random guy that was making all that noise, banging. He was banging his bottle on the table. And then he walked past Derek and then slammed his bottle next to him. Like, yeah, nigga. I'll smash you with
this. What is New York about?
I don't know.
This place is weird.
I don't know, but.
Do this shit.
But back to this girl thing. I live with my girl.
Okay.
I live with my girl. And actually, if I can make an applaud on here, like the little noise, I'll applaud her. Because comedy goes up and down, and she's like with me, and she's dealing with that shit.
Good stuff.
But like right now, I feel like she's using keywords to let me know, like, get your shit together.
Uh-oh.
Because it's simple stuff. Like, maybe I'm too analytical.
Okay.
But I like reading this stuff a lot. And now, it was like when she tells me the story about her day,
okay,
she gives me too many characteristics about a certain person.
Wow.
Like, if she tells me it's like, oh, I went to the store. She won't just say, I went to the store. She'll be like, oh, you remember that store with the really cute guy who was there? And I went, and I'm just like,
uh-oh.
Why the hell did that even happen? Like, when did that even matter? When did cute have anything to do with the actual experience of the store? Like, tell me the shit you bought. Don't tell me who you met. And she did that today. She was like, oh yeah, I love going to the sandwich shop. This really cute guy always lets me get a discount. And I was like, once again, I didn't need to hear.
That's two times.
In a day.
Oh.
In a day.
That might not be a good look for the children, dude.
Right? We have kids, and she likes kids.
I don't know why a good look for the kids.
I don't know. I'm not going to have kids. I'm
going to tell you.
You don't want kids. You want a Lamborghini. You can't have a Lamborghini.
Hold on. Let's hear about Derek. Oh, my God. First of all, 35.
Is that why you dress like a grown man?
Nah, just I had a button-up shirt on yesterday, too. Weird. 35, she had a son, ran her mouth about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And for to run her mouth this much, she had too much playtime in the back of her jeans. Her butt was not fat enough for me.
Playtime.
When you got enough, too much fabric in the back of your jeans, like your butt don't fill out your jeans all the way, something in me goes, okay, this is gonna end quick. Because I'm motivated by things. You 35, that's already one up, that's one down. Two, got a son, that's 14. Huh? What? All I got is sneakers and hardwood floors. That's all I got at my apartment. That's it. So we talk or whatever. She's all about, you know, I ain't been in too many relationships. I've been in two. I got a divorce. He's remarried and blah, 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 blah. And she just kept going on and on about absolutely nothing. And then I told her the truth about me,
because
comedy has made me more I guess, crass. I was like, yeah, man, any girl with kids, I'm just looking to sleep with maybe once or twice. And she was like, so I guess this is the last time we're gonna see each other. I'm like, yeah, pretty much. Did you like the wings? Did you like the wings? Because we got wings.
You bought a wing?
I bought her some wings.
That
it's
is
a six piece.
The draggiest thing.
They were lemon pepper wings. It was good.
Is that what is that? Is that I hear rappers use lemon pepper wings in their songs now. They got the lemon pepper wing. When did chicken become a status symbol? And it was like, yeah, I got the chain around my neck and some chicken wings. When did chicken wings become a status?
Chicken wings became a status when I stopped giving a damn. That's what happened. There ain't no sit down restaurant. We gonna go to the Wings to Go up in Hoboken. First of all, it was a nice neighborhood. It was sunny out. Let's go to a nice neighborhood and eat some wings because I don't really know you. You know, you swung by my house. She was like, well, I'm in the area. I'm like, all right, I'm hungry. So I'm feeling wings. So whatever I'm feeling, hopefully you feeling too. And that day was wings. But to keep it on the gaggeriest, she got lemon pepper wings. I got Caribbean jerk wings.
They're still wings. They're still chicken wings, regardless of the flavor. The wings, that's not
we
a
had
date.
Celery with them. We had
you can't
celery.
Take a chick out for snacks and then be like, we went on a date. We got six wings. Six wings ain't no date.
I had a 10 piece.
A 10 piece wing.
Yeah, 10 piece wing. That's 16 wings right there. That's one wing.
When did Jermaine Dupri, he mentions in a song, he says something about lemon pepper wings. Then Rick Ross says something about, like, when do you reach that level where you're like, you got the women, you got the car, you got the money, you got the wings. Is that what it is?
Wings are universal.
But they're chicken wings.
She's a struggling mom who's single, talking about her trip to Miami. Like, I don't want
to
hear about your
divorce. She can afford to go to Miami, so you got her wings? You could at least bought
her. She roomed with eight people. When I went to Miami, I roomed with nobody.
Oh, you at least could have got her a calzone.
She didn't want a calzone. I said, what flavor of wings you like? And there was a whole menu she could pick from. But she looked at the wings and got engaged in the wings. And I got her some wings. But no, that thing didn't last.
Wait, hold up. You offered her wings. You didn't offer her anything else. You said, what type
of
wings?
The menu offered her everything else. I knew what I wanted. I said, what you like? And I said, what flavor? She could have been like, yeah, I really don't want. She's 35. She's her own woman. She could have made the decision not to have wings.
All right. Nobody out there, any females listening, don't date Derek. He only takes you out for wings. Six wings at that. He couldn't even get her.
She wanted six
12.
Wings.
He couldn't even get her 12.
She wanted six wings. If she wanted a calzone, I would have got her a calzone.
She has a growing boy at home.
Yeah.
What does six wings do?
I don't.
How was it? So the date was horrible.
Date was horrible.
You got
didn't
some,
like it.
You got some yams.
Didn't no, I didn't get yams? No yams. I didn't want no yams because she was old and
35 is not old though.
Huh?
35 is not
it's
old.
Old for me. Well, sorta 27. But her 14-year-old makes her older. Sorta.
She just made some mistakes.
No, she was married. She was married. Got
that's
divorced.
Still a mistake.
That's a whole baggage. That is a whole suitcase.
It's just one. Yeah. It's just lost luggage. That's all it is.
She was okay. She rambled on too much about absolutely nothing, and I knew from Jump Street, even though she had a good attitude, she was like, if I do come in, I know we're going to have sex, so that's why I don't go in nowhere. Oh, okay. So at least she knows the deal.
Oh, so you bought her wings? You should have got three wings then. She wasn't giving it
she
up.
She was like, if we, I got to pick up my son from day camp, but if we could chill.
Day camp, he can walk home. He's 14. He can walk.
It was a performing arts day camp, and those are usually down a highway somewhere.
Oh,
so he couldn't.
Gay.
Perhaps.
That statement meant absolutely nothing. I know. People are like, ah, yeah. I don't even know.
People act. He's an actor.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
Can I get a... can you talk for a minute while I get like a macchiato or something? Or
we just go get your fried macchiato. There, yeah, hold up. Wait.
Like a chai tea or something. I want a Rice Krispie treat, but ain't got one.
You should see Derek right now. He has on a blue button-up shirt. It's a business shirt. Did you have a tie on? No tie. Jeans, some Jordans. What type of hat is that?
It's like a newsboy.
I think it's called a newsboy.
Hat, whatever.
He's losing all his flavor. As white people will call it, flavor. New black say
wait
swag.
Till you see what I wear tomorrow. It's gonna be ridiculous.
You maturing.
Wait till you see what I'm wearing tomorrow. G Star down. I can't wait. Sound the alarm on G Star.
I can't even afford G-Star.
Got a pair of blue Jordan 3s.
Levi's and Old Navy.
But no. Tomorrow, the Nick Cannon comedy showcase.
Shit, the show's tomorrow. I thought it was the 12th.
No, I'm headlining. I'm not headlining. I'm featuring at the Laugh House 12/13. But Nick Cannon's tomorrow.
Okay, you heard him. He's on the show, Nick Cannon.
They give me 7 minutes to prove myself, too.
7 minutes, you get paid.
I don't know. I don't think so.
So you don't get
I'm
paid
with my face on the flyer, but I don't know if I'm getting paid. I'm not really in it for the money. I'm in it for the exposure. This one, right. This is one of them nice exposure joints, though.
Yeah, nah.
Becky Owen is on the show. Jessica Kirsten, amazing comedian.
A funny comedian. Remember the little kid? Well, he's not a little kid. He's 17-year-old. Pete Davis.
Pete Davidson.
He got signed off of that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He got signed off the Gotham joint.
Which is good. It's actually good. Oh, Gotham was on that show?
No, Kyle Grooms was on the show. Body. He was the other token black person because it seems like Nick only puts one black person on the show, mm-hmm. and I was the choice for this show.
So, how do you, now that you just said that, what do you feel? Like, right now, every club, now that you look at the format, they have a couple blacks and all whites. Like, black comedy is different from white comedy.
They give the one black dude the chance to prove himself mainstream, I guess.
But it's the one black dude to prove himself for everyone. That he's proven. You notice that? Like,
so I'm
not
like
saying a club.
For the race, because they already there to see Nick.
But there's a couple clubs where you go to look for a black dude, and there's like one or two black dudes, and then that's the limit. That's like, all right, we reached our limit. They do, mind you, they do black shows, but black shows are different from the actual comedians who work there.
And it's never really I feel as though I'm not representing for my race because I'm black. I didn't sell out to nobody. I'm representing for my mom, you know. I'm representing for the people who believe in me, so I feel as though I got to do well. But no, it's weird. I don't know what it is about it, but they put us, maybe we just come dime a dozen. The mainstream cats that are not alt, but we're still, you know.
You said alt. Why do you say alt?
Like, you know, because this is the year, this is the last 3-4 years is the year of the black nerd. But I refuse to be called the new black nerd. I'm not a not a black nerd. I'm a follower of Eddie Murphy and Patrice O'Neal.
The alt scene is coming up.
But the alt scene's been coming up. That's what they want now. So I'm against the grain.
Yeah, but now it's going to lose its essence. Like,
the alt scene?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because anything that becomes publicized has a shelf life. Mainstream will never have a shelf life because it's your comedy and basically it's no scene. It's like mainstream is not really a scene. It's just something that can cater to everyone.
Yeah, I think.
But the alt scene only caters to the hipsters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But right now, even the hipster life is a trend. Like before, like I feel sad for actual hipsters. Because now it's like H&M, fucking Urban Outfitters are making bank off of the quote unquote hipsters.
Yeah.
And there's just people who like, it's like, oh, I'm a hipster. Why? Because you got new jeans that look old? Like that's not really a hipster.
Vintage and it smells funny. And like you wear Chuck Taylors with the white part all messed up.
You wear dick sneakers?
Yeah.
That's my girl's favorite word. Anytime something's dog, she just says dick. Like, she just look at it, because when she came to Philly with me, she came to a comedy show.
We used to say dick.
Yeah, Philly people say dick.
We used to say dick. We don't say
dick
anymore.
But somebody on stage was like, white people's sneakers always be dick. It was a part of their joke. And she started cracking up laughing, because she never heard that term before.
Dick? Yeah, I remember.
And she was like, look at their shoes, they dicked. Oh, this muffin is dicked. I'm like, you can't say dicked. Get to a muffin, like you can't, a muffin can't be dicked.
Nah, muffin can't be dicked.
You know what she'll say?
Anything going in your mouth can be dicked.
We looked at an apartment yesterday, and the bathroom was small. She was like, oh, this bathroom is dicked. I was like, you're using it in the wrong context. You can't. You just use it all willy nilly. You can't. She's like she's like a 3-year-old who just learned a new phrase and just applying it to everything in life. hilarious. I miss that dude who just slamming his hand down.
But no, the last one, the last slam was
funny. He's gonna take your head off with that slam.
Whoa!
He's seen a you with a blue shirt on. He's like, he looks like a mature working man, and then slammed his bottle down abruptly.
But back to black comics. Just open your mind. That's all I'm saying.
That's it. I think it's people are afraid. That's what it is. It's not the actual comics. It's they're afraid to take a chance on a black comic, because believe it or not, white comics are a dime a dozen. There's not. It sounds racist, but I don't care. They are. It's like you can get 8 Dane Cooks. Mm-hmm. You can literally find 8 Dane Cooks.
Especially in LA.
Yeah. But you can only find 1 Kevin Hart. Even though you can find people who try to emulate Kev, it's only 1 Kev. Same thing with only 1 Patrice. Like, really black good comedians are unique.
Yeah.
Are very unique. Even when you go to clean, like Louis Ramey, he's unique.
Ramey's clean now?
Yeah. Well, he's not. He's never been dirty. Like, when you watch him,
his foot is off the edge.
You think he's edgy?
I saw him in Atlanta. He did a dildo joke five minutes into an Atlanta set. Black people looking at him like he was crazy, but it was hilarious.
I like Louis Ramey. I look at him as he's that person that can weave in and out. Like, if you need him to go clean, he'll be just as funny as he is.
Switch.
He know how to switch. But he's unique, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to take away and say there's no unique, good white comics. Louis C.K., very unique. Jerry Seinfeld, unique. Even when you go down to the new people, well, not the new people, but the, like, Neil Brennan, he's unique. You ever watch him before?
Mm-mm.
I like Neil.
I like Bill. Bill Burr.
Bill Burr. Oh, yeah. He's unique. Oh, he's on, I forgot that show. Breaking Down or Breaking Dawn or some shit like that. You forgot. I don't know. I don't got cable. I'm asking
Breaking
you because you got Breaking Bad. He's on that show now.
Oh, Bill Burr's on. Good.
Shout out to Bill Burr. Isn't he from Philly?
I don't know. I think he's from New York. No, he's from Boston. I'm sorry.
From Boston? Well, shout out to Bill Burr for being funny and unique.
Yeah.
Just be unique. Only way to be unique is just being yourself.
And writing.
And just writing. But not everybody's good at writing. As long as you can capture the essence of you on stage.
If you know you're funny, if you can capture your own funny,
mm-hmm.
that's always good.
Yeah. All right. I think we're going to bring this to an end. You want to bring this to an end?
Yeah, I guess we can bring it to an end. We'll be back next week.
We'll bring it back next week.
With the movies.
Chris will be back.
More saying. He'll probably mess up words and stuff like that.
Yeah. It just felt empty today because it was raining. I was kind of somber.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening. This has been CDM Midday Talk podcast.
And that doesn't mean it's just a list of complaints. It's a real podcast.
It's a real
podcast. Comedians, all right?
All right.
So CDM.
But this is what we talk about. This is unscripted.
Unscripted.
It's unscripted.
Derek Gaines.
Monroe Martin.